Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Welcome to Brew Day.
Christopher Media, let's make some noise.
Welcome to Beer Nuts, a weekly excursion into the world of craft beer. Brought to you by MichiganBeerGuide.com. And now, here are the Beer Nuts.
Well, one Beer Nut, sort of. Well, it's all of us, essentially, but we'll get into that. I'm Chris. Been a while since you heard my voice coming out of the microphone for this podcast. Got you to Popular Rumors. I did not leave to go start my own craft beer cast. I'm not dead. Anything like that. Back together. Today's show is going to be a little different, okay? We're going clip show style. Should there be a laugh track? Should I have a sidekick? Goofy clips? No. What happened is the other three beer nuts, Pete, John, Doug, wanted to get together, brew some beer, and invited me along. And, you know, we kind of had this plan. I thought we were going to get three or four shows out of it. What happened is we kind of just, you know, we set up the mics. You know, we just kind of let things go. We recorded a few things. I mean, I was in sponge mode, all right? Is for February Sunday in Michigan, it was nice. It was, you know, maybe mid to high 40s. I want to thank Uncle Pete and his wife, Cindy. Beautiful home. Thanks for the hospitality. There was food. It was great. And I was in sponge mode just asking these guys questions. This is the first time I've ever seen brewed beer before. I've been on the Coors Brewery tour, but whatever. You learn they're just showing you big giant vats with fermenting beer in them. I actually got to see the process, ask questions, see what was happening as it went down, and had a lot of fun actually toying with maybe trying my hand at it myself. These guys, they were brewing, you know, 5 gallons at a time. Doug had a 15-gallon kettle. You know, I'm just looking for maybe some homebrew kits. You know, can I make a gallon of beer at a time? So, we'll see. But anyways, you know, here's when we first fired up the microphones. Doug had got there, you know, he was the master. He was getting his own beer going and bringing half the audio equipment. Doug got there and started his stuff brewing. Here he kind of starts walking you the process here of beginning of brewing a batch of beer.
All right, brewing with the beer nuts. This will be a fun day. There's already so many questions I've had answered, so many things that didn't make the air. Who even knows when this will be at any point in each podcast? But Doug, you told me to grab a mic here, so what is going on?
Yeah, I've got my water up to a little close to 170 degrees, and I'm doing an all-grain batch. So I've got about 13 pounds of grain in what's called a mash tun, and this is going to sit and steep for about an hour. Basically the same process of, say, making coffee, where you're extracting the fermentable sugars out of the grains. Yeah, we'll do that for about an hour, and then we're going to sparge it and wash everything through it that we can get out of it, and that will eventually...
Sparge is fancy talk for washing it off.
Exactly.
All right.
So this will become the basis of our wort, which will end up boiling off some more of the water. Essentially, it's an extraction of fermentable sugars from the grains that we're using.
It's like a giant coffee maker filled with malt, barley. JR's got a stout going, so there's flaked oats in his, little different malt.
Yeah, this is a Belgian triple, so I've got a very pale malt bill. So it's going to become very, very yellow, very clear, fingers crossed.
I feel like we killed the party and started the podcast.
Yeah, we're still rolling, right?
Yeah, I know, right? But he ran inside.
Everybody came back, though, for real. I mean, come on, we were making beer. There was food. The mics turned on, everyone gets a little shy, but it's, you know, as soon as everyone gets a couple beers in them, nobody seems to care, and the microphones are invisible. Anyway, so now, JR, Doug, they got there kind of a little bit, what's the word, late? We'll go with that. But Uncle Pete, he got the jump on everybody. Uncle Pete had been well into the process when I got there, and I thought I was late. I got there before everybody else. So here we're going to hear JR and Uncle Pete talk about their beers. JR just getting there, starting to walk us through the process of his. I'm looking forward to JR's beer. Right now in my craft beer career, as far as my palate goes, you say stout, I'm in. I'm drinking a stout right now. Dark Horse. Trey Blueberry. It's delicious. We had the barrel age version on Sunday. Thanks to SAK and his wife Andrea, they provided that. It was also her birthday. Andrea also introduced me to mead. If you've not had a chance to have mead, drink it. It is delicious. But anyway, we're going to hear JR talk about his Irish Car Bomb Stout. By the way, I did some research on this. The politically correct name that you'd be looking for, JR, is Irish Triplets. That's what people have come up with for that. And then Uncle Pete, he made an IPA, a clone of another brewery's IPA, and they're going to tell you about that.
Going to be plenty of coffee in the stout I'm brewing, which is in the mash tun. The mash tun is where the grains soak in the hot water. Dugout just put his stuff in the mash tun. Mine has been in for about 20 minutes, so I got another 40, 45 minutes to go. That's the process where the sugar from the grain gets extracted. and the sugars then later get fermented into alcohol and CO2. So the particular beer I'm brewing, I'm trying to emulate the flavor of an Irish car bomb. It's an Irish coffee stout. I haven't named it yet, so probably by the end of the day, we'll have a pretty good idea.
I say call it the Irish car bomb stout. That's what it's named
Irish
after.
Irish car bomb stout, could be. So what I have done to get the Bailey's flavor into there without putting cream, which would not be a very wise thing to do, putting cream in a beer, it'll curdle. So I have found some Irish cream flavored coffee that I got fresh ground at one of our favorite beer shops, Merchants in Dearborn. So I have a pound of that fresh ground. I'm going to put 4 ounces in the boil, 6 ounces into a tincture that I'll explain later. This particular beer has 17 pounds of grain. I use some Maris Otter, which is a British grain, to get some of that European flavor in there. Some flaked oats, which will give it more body, a little bit of oatmeal, chocolate malt, and some flaked barley, and black patent malt, which will make it nice and dark and roasty. Very little hops in this. It's an imperial stout. It's not going to be hoppy. I just have 1 ounce of Nugget and 1 ounce of Willamette hops. That'll be the finishing hops. And then what I'm going to do is, right before I keg this batch of stout, I'm going to take a jar today and fill it with Irish whiskey, about 6 ounces of that delicious Irish cream coffee grounds, and 2 vanilla beans. And I'm going to soak that in the whiskey. The whiskey will eradicate any potential microorganisms or anything that might be a threat to infect the batch, because the alcohol will kill that. And it'll soak and meld into a nice, delicious flavor. And then right before I keg the batch, I will French press all that liquid that comes out of there into the keg, so you get a nice whiskey, vanilla, Irish coffee, Irish cream flavor into the keg. So I'm really excited, and we'll see how it turns out.
And Uncle Pete started way early. You made what, an IPA?
Well, Uncle Pete is the host. It's in Uncle Pete's garage, which is an ideal setup. And Uncle Pete did start before us, so he's a little bit ahead of the game, but I'm going to pass on to him, and he can tell you where his batch is at.
Yeah, you might not know it, but I slept in my car. No. That never happens, really. But, yeah, I started early. We're all kind of staggered here with our brewing. We are drinking some good beers to share, and so we will be staggering even more as the day goes
on. Yeah, there are a lot of bottles around here.
Right. But, yeah, I did a Surly Brewing Company Ferocious IPA clone, and right now I have it chilling. The boil is done, and pretty soon, in about 10 minutes, I'll get it into the fermenter with some yeast, and it'll get all nice and happy and start fermenting. So
I know what it means when I'm chilling, but I'm guessing beer, that's a different story. What exactly is happening over there?
Yeah, so I boiled in my brew kettle, I boiled the beer and added my hops during the boil, and now I have a copper coil in there with cold water running through it, like a heat exchanger, and I'm bringing it down to under 80 degrees Fahrenheit so that I can put my yeast in. So I have to keep everything very sanitary at this point in time. I cannot introduce anything into that liquid right now that's not sanitized. So as soon as it's under 80 degrees, I'll take it in, put it in the fermenting tank, and add the yeast and put an airlock on it and let it sit for a week or two while it percolates.
While it becomes beer.
We'll be the first one done. So, but this way, as the host, I can give my attention to everybody else here that's brewing, and we can give them what they need, and I can drink more. Not that you guys won't drink more either. I know you will. I don't have to go anywhere. But then there comes cleanup. It's kind of like painting. A lot of prep and a lot of cleanup with a little bit of action in between.
Pretty apt metaphor there, Uncle Pete. And yeah, it seems like it takes so much to get going. There's so much setup and cleanup, and it seems like in between it doesn't take that long, or at least maybe the time passed, because, you know, there's beers, there's food, there's good. Thanks to Junior for him on a couple of the beer nuts. He was the grill master. He's also bottling a stout with a couple of friends of his when I first got there. So Uncle Pete raising them right. Now, let's talk about wort. What is wort? Well, before Sunday, I had no idea what wort is. Is it something you add to the beer? Is it some kind of crazy ingredient? No. If you've been listening to the podcast, you know my role in it is I'm the new guy that's being drug along with the three veterans, all right? You know, JR is a Michigan beer guy. Check him out, michiganbeerguy.com. Very popular blog in the state of Michigan. Introduced me to Uncle Pete, Dugout. These guys are avid home brewers. So wort is pre-beer, all right? It's what you're going to add the yeast to
have it ferment, which adds the alcohol, which makes it beer. So I got to taste some wort, one half bad. Here's what it tastes like before the alcohol sours it up. If you really want the layman's terms on it, and while we were doing this too, Uncle Pete began his beer fermenting. So there's a little bit of talk, there's going to be much more talk later in the episode about it, but we start touching on fermenting in this clip. Also too, so some of the audio we've adjusted to make some of the things that these guys were saying audible because I thought they were important and thought you should hear it. It's good knowledge. Getting into the science portion of the show.
So Chris, what did you think about your first taste of wort?
I was expecting to be bitter. You guys are right. It was sweet. It
tasted like the garage smelled when I walked in too.
Yep. Well, that the yeast will do its job and eat that sugars up and convert it to alcohol and CO2, and then it'll be really tasty and it'll get us where we need to be going on that long, strange trip.
So now what Uncle Pete's doing. In 2 weeks, that's beer. In 2 weeks, you're putting it in the bottle? Or what's going on there?
Giving this a good mix. Got my yeast in there. Sanitized my hand. Aerating it, getting some oxygen in there because the yeast needs a little oxygen to help it.
There'd be a lot of trube in that. With all
there is. I'm going to lose probably half a gallon.
The trube is the gunk that settles to the bottom of the carboy or the fermenter.
And if you're making an IPA and you have a lot of hop pellets in there, because they break down into small particles, but if you're making an IPA and you got a lot of hops in there, you're going to get an awful lot of that trube in it. Essentially equates to volume loss because you can't drink that.
So that's why I always try to do 5.5 gallons.
So you brew planning to lose some of it. So if you want X amount of gallons, you know you have to brew Y amount of gallons.
Right. I'm brewing 5.5 because I shouldn't lose too much. I have very little hops.
I'm going 5.25. I'm starting with about 8.5 gallons of water. No, I'm going to lose that in the boil. I'm going to lose that in the absorption when it sits in the mash tun with the grain.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that before Sunday. All right, you got to make more. Like, say you want 5 gallons. You got to make like 7 because a lot of these recipes, you got to boil them for a certain amount of time. And obviously, when you're boiling something, you're boiling off the water and losing volume. Uncle Pete also told me it's the thickening process. The thicker your beer is going to be, the longer you're going to boil it. The next one's a clip. It was kind of a, it's in the middle of the process. Not so much instructional as just, you know, I like the information in the clip. It's Doug and Junior talking about happy accidents in brewing. And brewing's just kind of like anything else, any kind of thing that could be considered an art form, whether it's music, painting, cooking, you know, things like that. It's the little subtle nuances that you learn by making mistakes or the mistakes that you make that turn into great pieces of knowledge that you end up taking forth with you throughout the process. This is just Duncan Jr. talking about that. Doug is making a Belgian triple and he's using honey as part of the recipe. I just like this nice back and forth. Kind of lets you know the headspace these guys are in and how much they love brewing their own beer.
To me, that's the beauty of brewing. It's a lot like the recording process. You know, you try to do something exactly right, but it's those happy accidents that you end up using all the time.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
You put honey right in it.
I'm going to put honey right in the boil. Yeah.
Oh, probably, you're going to put it in the boil?
Yeah, probably at flame out, I'll put the... Nice. Or towards flame out. I've got that 10-minute window.
Where I'm adding the orange peel. So you're using peel. Like Saaz? Are you using like Saaz hop?
I've got a Styrian Golding.
You're not using Rock Candy though, right? You're not.
No, I'm using a honey instead. I kicked it around a little bit, but I've not brewed beer with honey yet. Nor have I used candy sugar, but I just decided to go with the honey on this one.
Hey, you know some other things that didn't happen before Sunday? The Beer Nuts had never brewed beer together. Shocking, I know. No, they drank beer together. Drank some with them. So, I mean, it was kind of cool to know that I was there being kind of part of that as well. Next clip, Jared's beginning a process called sparging. If you recall way back at the beginning of the show, Doug was talking about it. Sparge is a fancy word for rinse. Basically, you know, it's these guys doing what they're doing is, because I've been doing a little bit of reading on the home brewing all week. I'm sure I'll be corrected on the next podcast we're together if I give out any erroneous information at this point. But these guys are all grain brewing. Basically, it's considered an advanced form of brewing. I don't know why. Seems how that's how beer is brewed. So, you know, they get the recipes for their beers and they have to get so many pounds of grain, barley, malt, whatever is going to be in their beer, you know, and then how much is needed per the recipe that they are getting. And I'm sure the advanced part of this comes in is knowing how to make your own recipes. Anywho, it sits there and it steeps in this liquid at a certain temperature for a certain amount of time, and once it's ready to be sparged, rinsed, basically, they run hot water over it, and what I'm guessing is the hot water is pushing that cold water out of there, and it's got the fermentable sugars in it now, I believe, as Uncle Pete told me. That's what you're draining out when you begin the sparging process, is you're draining out what will become the wort. It's called wort, sounds better. Which you then, you know, what you boil, which becomes the beer. Now we have Doug out talking about JR beginning the sparging process.
JR's right into his sparge process right now, and essentially water has sat in the grain long enough to start removing the fermentable sugars. It's dark as coffee. He's doing a little batch sparging right now, doing the Vorloff where he's taking pitchers and running it through. Basically a converted igloo cooler that's been turned into a gigantic coffee pot.
And that is the one takeaway I can give to you people. Sorry for being pejorative. About Sunday. There is much more in common between brewing beer and brewing coffee than you think. I'm the person, you know, I've been doing this podcast, September? It's what? We'll call it March. You know, I'm 6 months in, and it's the best I can come up with for you. Now it's more science-y talk, all right? Your Uncle Pete Jr. and Dugout gonna go back and forth here, talking about just how important temperature ends up being to brewing, whether it's the temperature that which you are steeping, you know, where it's in the mash kettle, you know, when you're steeping it in the barley and the malt, or the temperature which you boil it at, the temperature which you rinse it at. It's all pretty key. Here's an interesting conversation about temperature.
The sparge water is too hot.
Turn your fire off.
You know what happens though, JR?
Yeah,
it's
averaging out.
It's gonna cool off as it's coming out of the shower.
I think we're too cautious all the time on our temps, because like earlier, we needed to put like 180 degree water in this thing to get it up to 170.
The 170 is perfect.
Yeah,
I use that as my sparge temp all the time.
Yeah.
Because by the time you start running it through, it's cooling down.
You know, we were talking earlier, what do you do with grain for temperature? Do you leave it out in the garage and let it be cold, or do you put it in the house and get warm so that you can regulate that temperature when you put your water through it?
Well, you can change your water temperature. If the grain's out here and it's 45 degree grain, you can just go up a couple degrees on your water.
Yeah, the beersmith calculates exactly
what it calculates. You measure the grain first.
My experience, the beersmith is wrong though, it's always low.
I typically don't use beersmith,
but what I do is I calculate based on temperature outside. Now, if I'm brewing outside and it's 20, I know that one thing I might do is fill this guy with hot water.
Preheat it,
And I'll preheat it for a couple hours and use that same water as my...
That's right.
As the water I start with, but I'm using that temperature to kind of pre-warm this. Another thing you can do kind of to hold temperature is these lids here are typically hollow.
Yeah.
So you can drill holes in them and then just fill it with good stuff, the expandable foam.
Yeah.
And that will work as a temperature buffer as well. So that'll hold stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, typically I'll start with 170 with my optimal being 150.
Yeah.
And that seems to come out. I mean, if it were really cold outside, I might consider moving it in, but I've rarely had to do that, only one or two times.
Today, my grain was cold and my cooler was cold. The cooler was like 45 and my grain was like 60. So I did a 180 on my water, my strike water, and I hit 152.
And this was warm when I started, so I stayed at 170 and it's pretty much been 150. It dove down a little bit. So what I do is keep this water here at 170 and I'll just add a little more water to it to get that temp back up.
Right.
And in the meantime, when I open this thing up, then I'll take my paddle and I'll sort of stir that mash around to kind of help release some of the sugars in the malt.
Yeah, I've done it. I'll do probably two or three stirs during my mash just to make sure everything's, you know, nice and even. But I, you know, these igloo coolers, they're great. They don't lose a lot.
No.
They'll hold for a good hour. They'll hold the temperature. Yep. Like I've been able to hold 152, you know, no problem for an hour.
I would say that conversation right there pretty much sums up the craft beer community. Well, the craft beer community I've experienced so far. Bunch of guys sitting around sharing ideas. You know, no competition. There was no hard feelings in that room. It was everybody sharing their ideas on how to make the beer that each person was brewing better. All right? No egos in the room. None of that going on. It was, try this. Well, have you ever tried this? No. Oh, I've tried this and this happened. Oh, well, let me try this. Hey, I tried this one time and this happened. Oh, well, I'm going to try this other time. See where I'm going with this, people? It's a craft beer community. I think that's an apt word to use for it. Next, JR has finished sparging. I can't wait to try his beer. That's all I gotta say from the where he goes on talking about here too. And he also talks about his, hey man, at the end of the day, oh, that's overused, but you're gonna have beer because that's what's gonna happen. Sometimes things go right, sometimes things go wrong. At the end of the day, still gonna have beer to drink. And the good stuff happens, you remember what you did, you write it down, and the bad stuff happens, you toss that away and you move on.
Okay, so we just now added 1 ounce of Nugget hops. And my sparge is complete, so that means my entire batch is in my boil kettle. I have about 7.5 gallons that I'm going to boil down to about 5.5 gallons, and that will concentrate the wort and make it a little bit stronger. And we'll end up with a, hopefully, an imperial stout around 7.5 to 8% alcohol by volume. I'll be adding more hops at 30 minutes of the boil in a half hour. And then just before flame out, I'll add some more hops, another 1/2 ounce of Willamette hops, and some cold pressed coffee, some French pressed coffee. And I'll actually use the hot wort to French press the coffee. So
now, does yours have a different hop schedule as, say, Uncle Pete's did?
Yes, it's way different. Pete was hopping every 5 minutes because he has a hoppy IPA. Since I'm brewing a coffee stout, there's very little hop influence. I did put 1 ounce of Nugget hops as the bittering hop at the beginning of the boil, and then I'll have 1/2 ounce of Willamette at 30 minutes and 1/2 ounce at flame out just before, and it was just a little bit of aroma hops. When you put it at the end, it's more for the aroma. So I got to boil this for 1 hour and see what we get. Looking good. Everything is so far as a perfect brew day for me. The hardest thing is to achieve is the mash temperature. I've always had problems with it being too low, but here at Uncle Pete's today, he convinced me to bump up the initial temperature of the mash water from 170 to 180, and by doing that I ended up with a 156 and a half to start and about a 154 to finish, which is perfectly within my range. So I'm very, very pleased at this moment. But it seems like every brew day there's always something goes wrong. But even if something goes wrong, at the end of the day you're always going to get beer. And the homebrewer's creed is relax, don't worry, have a homebrew. So at the end of the day, no matter what happens, you just have to roll with the flow and you'll always get good beer at the end. And
there will still be beer.
Yeah. So
do not fret.
Forget about it.
Bada bing? Is that what I'm supposed to do there? Oh, sounded cool. It fit. All right, next. One of my favorite activities. Chilling. But not really. Craft beer community. Well, in the homebrew process, you have to bring the beer down to a certain temperature to add the yeast. I believe the rule is you need it to ferment at the temperature that it's going to end up being stored at. But next, JR. Chilling.
JR is now entering what I've learned today is called the chilling process, I believe. It's been boiling forever. Now we're going to cool it down.
It's nighttime to chill the hot coffee-laden wort down to 70 degrees, and then I can put it in the fermenter and pitch the yeast and let those yeasties do their work and convert sugars to alcohol and CO2. And in a couple of weeks, I'll be able to add the Irish whiskey, vanilla bean, and more Irish cream coffee flavor to it right before I keg it. And another week after that, it'll be carbonated and we'll be ready to drink it. We'll be back to talk about this beer around St. Patrick's Day, because that's why I brewed an Irish coffee stout. Or a Irish car bomb stout. If anybody's ever had that shot, it's a good one. The only difference is this is a much higher alcohol stout than Guinness is, so it's going to be more of a beer nuts strength car bomb.
Big beer.
Yeah, big beer.
And who doesn't love the big, big beers? Seriously, who doesn't? You don't, you should find a new podcast. No, not really. I'm just playing. Thank you for listening, by the way. So nearing the end here, if you want to see behind the curtain here, a little peek into what goes on, we had 4.5 hours of recorded audio. This is maybe going to be a half an hour show. It's okay, though. It was a learning experience. Next time, you know, we learned what to and what not to do, at least I did, from the podcast aspect. You know, maybe get there a little earlier, get everything all set up, actually, you know, interview the process as it's going on. But, you know, life is live and learn, right? I still think we got a cool little show out of it. Now, it's time for JR and Doug, they are putting their beers in their fermenters. What's happening here? Putting the yeast into the wort. Sits around for a few days, a couple weeks, depending on what you're making calls for, and it becomes a beer. The sugars ferment and the alcohol becomes added, and after that they're going to keg it, and when they're kegging is when the carbonation happens. But they're going to explain to it more, and I don't know why Uncle Pete speaks of the little blue packets like he does in that tempo, but here it is.
All right, we got JR and Doug putting their beer in their fermenters.
It's getting exciting now, everybody.
JR is adding yeast.
Little blue packets. That's going to swell right up and make beer. Look at the color, man. He's taking a sample to take gravity, like, and the color is as black as
it's like motor
diesel
oil.
And my son changes the oil in my diesel. That's what that looks like. Nice. It looks great, JR.
So there you go, really. After that, I mean, unless you wanted to hear the cleanup, it's how it goes down. You know, there was a couple things I left out. There's a couple beer reviews in there. And not taking away from them, it just, I didn't think we had a good thing going with the recorded brew process. And I think just for our first, you know, too, this is our first experiment at doing like kind of a live podcast. Hey, thanks to everybody who has listened, who has downloaded, who has shared the podcast. Numbers double every month. It's, you know, we started out in September with nothing but word of mouth and pushing it on social media. And just to everybody who's followed us on Twitter at Beer Nuts Podcast, on Instagram at Beer Nuts Podcast, thank you. Make sure you're tweeting us or on Instagram, sending us your pictures of what you're drinking. We've been getting those. Thanks for that. Also, go to MichiganBeerGuy.com. Click on Win This Glass. All right, at a bunch of winners, you can be another winner. All you gotta do, just click on Win This Glass. You know what? Let's do hashtag Brew Day. All right, hashtag Brew Day. We'll get you a glass. Maybe JR wants to give out two this week. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. But I'm willing to bet he might. So, JR, I believe you have the sign-off.
Ricky was a young boy.
Wait, no. Yeah, that's not it. I had to get that in there somewhere. So, as they say in old Mexico City, AMF.
If you enjoy this show and want more people to know about it, head on over to iTunes, leave a comment, and rate it 5 stars. Make sure you like and share us on Facebook, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Just search for Christopher Media. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Most importantly, we would like to take the time to extend an extra special thanks to you. Christopher Media could not exist without your support. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.